The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. We thank you for joining us. Each and every hour that we begin on this program, we start with a segment that we call the Impact Segment. Virtually unheard of in afternoon radio. It's more than 20 minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. Our way of saying thank you for making this program possible. Now, we do have a scheduled guest to be calling in any moment, and hopefully that will be the reality. He is a lawyer, and sometimes, obviously, lawyers get called away or become in situations that are unforeseen. So I'll share a little bit about what we may get into, and if I see the hotline lit up, we will jump in. If not, we will reschedule. Now, for so many of us that have not been back to church, the thought of and the question, when will my church open again, has crossed our minds, safe to say, more than just a few times. Now, you may belong to a church that has opened its doors. Last Friday, the president, in a sense, shared his thoughts on the idea of church being an essential business. And I think it was kind of undeniable, his thoughts, that we need to open the churches. There have been follow-up stories in the media this week where he continues to say this along these lines. In fact, I think here's a little of what he shared last Friday, just for the sake of context and for those of you that may not know.
Today I'm identifying houses of worship, churches, synagogue, and mosques as essential places that provide essential services. Some governors have deemed liquor stores and abortion clinics as essential, but have left out churches and other houses of worship. It's not right. So I'm correcting this injustice and calling houses of worship essential. I call upon governors to allow our churches and places of worship to open right now. If there's any question, they're going to have to call me, but they're not going to be successful in that call. These are places that hold our society together and keep our people united. The people are demanding to go to church and synagogue, go to their mosque. Many millions of Americans embrace worship as an essential part of life. The ministers, pastors, rabbis, imams, and other faith leaders will make sure that their congregations are safe as they gather and pray. I know them well. They love their congregations. They love their people. They don't want anything bad to happen to them or to anybody else.
So that was the president last Friday. And so this past weekend, I've heard there were a smattering of churches that actually opened their doors. Now, we here in California, Governor Gavin Newsom has been at the forefront of saying not so fast. Monday, Memorial Day, he issued a new series of guidelines by which, in his view, churches can open. And I think of some of the things that were shared, limiting occupancy to 25% or 100 people, whichever is less. And yet there are now at count 1,500 members of the clergy here in California that have signed on to something that is called the Declaration of Essentiality. You may have also heard a little more than a week ago, I had Pastor Jack Hibbs on the program. Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills is his church, and Pastor Jack has been kind of at the forefront of saying, we've listened to the president when he said 15 days. We said, okay. When the president said another 15 days, we said, okay. When the governor issued some of his orders, we said, okay. And then, in the words of Pastor Jack Hibbs, I'm paraphrasing, when this idea of a phase-in plan occurred, it was something that some of the churches said, well, we want to know when. When can we reopen our doors? And at last note, Pastor Jack Hibbs said, not really heard from the governor. Now, in fairness, I haven't followed up. It's been a little more than a week. Maybe there's been some dialogue. But as of Monday, the governor said these guidelines. Now, Robert Tyler is the president of Advocates for Faith and Freedom. He's also one of the attorneys at Tyler and Birch. They have become the the legal firm that's representing 1,500 members of the clergy here in California. Let me read a press release that was sent out. I don't see Robert on the hotline yet. We'll give him another couple of minutes. If not, we'll reschedule. But here is the response after the governor said, well, we'll allow you to reopen slowly, but no more than 100 people. Quote, restaurants, for example, have no stated occupancy limitation, but simply require that guests at tables be separated by 6 feet. Additionally, large stores continue operating without being limited in their occupancy from their normal levels. By the way, this is a press release from Tyler and Birch, lawyers and advisors. While many churches will have no problem complying with the 100-person limit, some of our clients have churches that see 2,500 people and more. Limiting places of worship to 100 people is arbitrary, unreasonable, and unconstitutional. Our clients will continue to make plans to hold services on May 31st, 2020, and many will not limit themselves to 100 persons. We encourage the governor to reconsider this unnecessarily low limitation on occupancy. Meanwhile, we will continue to pursue our legal claims in court in order to prevent future authorities from stripping First Amendment liberties from places of worship, end quote. Attorney Robert Tyler and the pastors named in the letter to the governor are available for additional comments. We've reached out to Robert, waiting to hear back. Let me share another thought or two, and then looks like we may move on, unless he somehow calls. I got a note on the break in my inbox on my Facebook. And I want to be fair. There's always context, and sometimes something may appear one way versus if you understand the context, it may be another. But part of what I saw in the message was, why are you sowing discord? Stop hitting the governor versus the church. COVID-19 virus is our enemy, not Governor Newsom or the CDC. And so I'd like to respond to that. And by the way, if you have any comments, 888-528-2557, you're welcome to call, and maybe we'll just talk on this impact segment about the probability of many churches opening this Sunday. If Robert Tyler somehow calls in, we'll put him on as well. But am I sowing discord? And again, I don't want to give attribution to the message, the person. There's probably a lot to it. There's a video that I've not watched. But here's my thought. If I was a pastor and I had a church and I scripturally submitted to the governing authorities, and I kept saying, okay, we'll wait, we'll wait, we'll wait. And yet, in other phases of this plan, I'm speaking obviously here in California, President Trump, until last Friday, gave the powers to the governors of each state and how they would do the reopening. But there's some anomalies in California that kind of opened my eyes. and in this press release from the law office, I mean, it's kind of arbitrary. When I had Jack Hibbs on the program, he just kind of chuckled saying, Frank, I just left Costco. It was jammed. And as I made my purchase, my credit card was exchanged, no gloves on either end. And he said, when we reopen our church, we are going to be much more strict about enforcing not only social distancing, but disinfecting the church, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to be very vigilant about opening in a wise sort of way. If I had a church, and again, this is an if, maybe not fair to even say, some may say, well, you have no right to kind of do this anecdotal position. And I would say you're right. I'd be first to say I'm stating a position now, and yet if I had the burden of being responsible for my congregation, be it small, be it large, I get it. I may not be of the same mindset. But my position, I'll say as a host of this program, I think sometimes when you look to Scripture, what does Scripture say? Scripture is filled with civil disobedience. And so the message that I got, am I sowing discord by questioning the governor? I don't think so. And maybe you'd like to call and have a conversation about that. We've got wide open phone lines, 888-528-2557. Also, I will reschedule Robert. I'm sure I'll get a text. Got caught in a meeting. Who knows? What? I can only imagine representing 1,500 clergy in this ongoing suit. I'm sure the responsibilities are enormous and unending. And I did reach out to him yesterday in fairness, kind of last minute. He said, yeah, I think I could do tomorrow. So we'll reschedule. But what about you? What about the idea of going to church? Maybe your church is open. I heard hearsay. I didn't follow up and confirm, so I'm not just going to drop a pastor that I know and love a great deal. Someone said, hey, such and such church was open this last Sunday. I don't know if that's true. I did see Pastor John MacArthur in a Facebook post shortly after President Trump said that he considers churches essential. John MacArthur said, we're open Sunday. He even said no masks. And I kind of sat up in my chair a little bit. I'm thinking, wow. Maybe later in the hour, I have two stories on masks. Evidently, Orange County now, because of the slow reopen of businesses and different sites, public health officials there have now made face coverings mandatory. And yet Sheriff Don Barnes says, quote, we are not the mask police, end quote. Another story on masks saying that there's no scientific evidence that supports healthy people should be wearing these things. And there's some other parts of the story I'll share as well. Last thing, I know of no pastors that have said, oh, yeah, we're just going to open up and everybody's going to rush in and we're not even going to think about health and we're just going to worship God. Maybe you have some thoughts on this. If your pastor sent out a message saying, we are open this Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, with certain restrictions, would you go? 888-528-2557. And I'm going to keep an eye on the hotline because I still get a sense maybe Robert's going to call in. Ed in Los Angeles. Ed, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. How are you today?
Good, Ed. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I wanted to make a comment about something that you had said earlier about the person that called in and they didn't like what you were saying about Governor Newsom or something like that. First off, I don't know if that person was a Christian. Or not, and you know, one way or another, if they are Christian or not Christian. But most Christians know that one of Satan's main goals is to have something
All right, let me put you on hold. I don't mean to interrupt, but your cell is dropping in and out. I thought I can ride it. Maybe it would correct itself. It didn't. So, Ed, I do want to take you back. Daniel will recall you back or set up a better connection. I do want to hear your thoughts. By the way, it wasn't a phone call. It was in my Facebook page for the talk program. It was a message inbox. And from all intents, the man is a Christian, for sure. So, Ed, I want to get back to you and hear your thoughts as well. 888-528-2557. Dan in Orange County. Dan, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yeah, I was troubled by what you just said about John MacArthur, if that's indeed true, that he said no mask. That just seems like stubborn, obnoxious behavior. And that's exactly the kind of behavior that I think the media loves to point out and ridicule us and mock us. And I think we deserve to be mocked. If indeed that is true, the idea that you're not going to wear a mask when we're in a pandemic and you're going to like shove your finger at the governor or something, I think we need to respect authority. If authority is being somewhat reasonable and not just persecuting the church, I don't think there's room for civil disobedience at this point. It may come to that later, but this, some of the, you know, and some of the ministers in the South that have kind of shoved their finger up at the governor and that. I'm appalled by that. And I think we all look bad and, you know, we shoot ourselves in the foot and maybe we shoot ourselves in the head when we're obnoxious and we're disrespectful of civil government.
So question, don't go anywhere. So your response, reaction to the media portrayal of who we are as if somehow we need to be concerned about the court of public opinion more than what God says. I'm just interested. So when would it be okay to say enough is enough in your mind?
Well, I don't think we've gotten nearly that far.
Really?
I mean, he has gotten to the point where he said, you know, you can have 100 or 25% or whatever. And hopefully in a couple more weeks after that, maybe he'll allow 200 or 35%. I mean, I think that's a fairly reasonable thing for government to do right now. But yes, there is hypocrisy out there. Yes, there's a double standard in some ways. But I, you know, like the liquor stores and there's a smoke shop near my house that's been opened. And, you know, but of course, in some of those instances, the smoke shop, there's probably no more than five people in there at one time, whereas the churches have hundreds and perhaps thousands of people. And I don't feel like Newsom is persecuting the church or being outrageous yet. But if he does, if he keeps this for another 6 months or something,
six months.
We could talk about civil disobedience
okay.
and things like that.
All right, Dan, thank you for the call. We can agree to disagree. I look forward to the next time. So your timeline is 6 months. We're just going to sit here as the body of Christ, and this man has stated his agenda publicly. It's not for speculation. And if you want to say, well, we as the church, we got to put on our Sunday clothes and act accordingly, and let's just in no way, shape, or form do anything other than cower like little simpletons to the government. And we're going to do everything they say because the moment we step out of line, oh my goodness, the world is going to come crashing down on us. I just don't think that's the view that I would embrace with respect. And I do hope you call again. I'd love to pick up where we left off. We have Ed back in Los Angeles. Hopefully the connection is better. Ed, thanks for your patience. You're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. And I'm going to be quick because I don't want my call to drop. But I went to church Sunday. My pastor had our church open, and it was like two seats empty on either side of me. And I really noticed that being in church with other brothers and sisters praising God and singing to his name, the scripture says, do not forsake the gathering together of the brethren. I really feel good. Even though we had our masks on, people had gloves on, we weren't really close to each other, family members sat together, but nobody was close to them. And it just felt good worshiping with other brothers and sisters.
Yeah, and Ed, thank you. We'll leave it at that. The connection's a little better, not great. But I keep hearkening back to Jack Hibbs when he was on the program. He said, look, if we can really be honest here, yes, we see a lot of statistics that online viewership is up. People are getting the word of God. Maybe people that don't know Jesus are able to access in this medium, and that's a good thing. And then he said, but watching online teaching is not the same as being in church. And Ed, you just typified that. Being around other brothers and sisters, worshiping God, fellowship, all of that, it's not the same. And there are some pastors that have signed on to this declaration, and they say they've had enough. And we'll obviously follow up on that story. We'll get Robert Tyler on the program. But I'm interested in your thoughts. We've got one line open, 888-528-2557. Is this a rush to judgment? I see one on the screen. In fact, we'll maybe take that as well. Oh, there's a whole array of different thoughts. Let me break and come back with many more of your calls. 888-528-2557. Are we as the body of Christ in too much of a hurry to go back to church? That's the position of some. I don't think it's many, but I would love to hear from you and your thoughts as well. 888-528-2557. More of this, The Frank Sontag Show, as we continue next. Welcome back to The Frank Sontag Show. This coming Sunday is the 31st of May. It is known as Pentecost Sunday. And if you've not heard, there are a number of pastors in California that have said they are going to open their doors. They have attained legal representation. They have signed on what is called the Declaration of Essentiality. We're going to talk more about that when we get the lead attorney on the phone. But it caused me to just pose the question to you about this idea of opening church. Is this too soon? If your church somehow sent a message to you and said, we're going to be open this week, would you go? And what about Governor Gavin Newsom saying Monday, Memorial Day? Well, not so fast. We'll slowly allow churches to open, no more than 100 people or 25%, whichever is the lower number. And there are a number of churches that will fit that criteria because they're small churches. But what about the larger churches? Is this arbitrary? Two thoughts, and then we'll get back to the phones. I just got a message from a listener. Says, I was just listening to your program. I think the churches should reopen now with proper sanitizing, distancing, masks, etc. I work for a major airlines, and planes are flying two-thirds capacity. Some attempt is being made at social distancing, but it's really impossible. And I don't see Governor Gavin Newsom complaining about the airlines flying at two-thirds full. Once people are on the planes, nobody can make them keep their mask on except the pilot if he desires to do so. Where is the fairness to churches? You may have heard the program the other day when I shared some thoughts in Riverside County of Sheriff Chad Bianco, who said, I'm not going to enforce and arrest people that are opening their businesses in Riverside County. And part of the exchange was made in reference to Gavin Newsom. I think the point needs to be made in relation to this conversation. Here's a little bit of Sheriff Chad Bianco.
So I contacted the governor's office for their response. We offered them to come on with you tonight. They referred me to the Health and Human Services Agency. They sent me this information, a statement, saying that Riverside County, they gave us some information. I'm going to put it up on the screen, showing the number of cases in Riverside County. More than 5,000 cases, 249 deaths, 184 patients still hospitalized. And there's an increasing number of infections, according to them.
I looked it up. It's at a slower rate. It's increasing, but it's at a very slow rate.
They also said this. There is a process for counties to move more quickly to reopen in stage two, which is submitting an attestation to the state certifying that the county has successfully limited COVID-19, has enough hospital capacity and enough testing, among other criteria. At present, Alcohol Beverage Control has contacted 10 premises in Riverside County since March 19th for violating the governor's stay-at-home order. And the Board of Barbering and Cosmetology has initiated at least 53 investigations into establishments that would violate the order. They said that 20 counties have filed official paperwork with the state to move forward towards reopening restaurants, but Riverside County hasn't. Why haven't you? And what's your response to what the governor's team or the Health and Human Services team is saying.
That is the most unbelievably childish thing I've ever read in my life. So basically what he's saying, it has absolutely nothing to do with medical. It has nothing to do with saving our hospitals, the influx of our hospitals, or flattening the curve. It's we're going to be punished because the ABC had to come out and investigate businesses. What does any of that have to do with the amount of cases we have in our hospital situation?
Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco. One other email I just received, then we're going to get on the phones. We have one line open, 888-528-2557. I made mention of Governor Newsom sharing Monday that the reopening of churches, his guidance limiting occupancy to 25% or 100 people, whichever is less. So I just got this email. I thought I heard this week Governor Newsom said churches could reopen with either no more than 100 attendees or 25% of the sanctuary capacity. Elizabeth, that's not correct. In other words, if you have a smaller church, 100-person limit, okay, that's fine. But it's whatever is the lesser number. So churches that have 2,500 people or more, they can only have 100 in the church. So that's the way I understand it. Elizabeth, thank you for your email. 888-528-2557. David in San Dimas, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, David.
Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me all right?
So far, so good. Yep.
Yeah, I go to that church in Chino Hills, and I believe church is essential. I strongly believe that it just charges me up for the week, you know, worship, fellowship, and hearing the Word of God. And since I haven't been there, there's something missing in my life, for sure. And we're going to be opening up. I'm an usher at that church, and we're going to be partially filling the sanctuary. We are going to be sanitizing the sanctuary between services, different service times, and we're going to respect masks or no masks, and I'm really looking forward to it, and I really believe it's essential.
David, I appreciate your comments, and thank you for sharing. I am going to reach out to Jack Hibbs, see if I can maybe get him on Friday, and see if there's any updates or any of his thoughts of the latest. Now, we made mention of Grace Community in the Valley and John MacArthur. A video I saw shortly after the president shared that churches are essential and that he would highly suggest all governors allow churches to open their doors. And John MacArthur said this Sunday, church will be open. The video I saw, he said, masks aren't mandatory. And he made reference to, we even know masks probably aren't going to really help you. They get contaminated easily. I've actually got at least three of a number of points about how masks aren't, at least science says healthy people should not be wearing these things. I'll go down that list in a moment. But David actually goes to Grace. David in Los Angeles, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Well, thank you, Frank, for taking my call. Yes, I attend Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, and I saw the post that Pastor MacArthur had put up, but what was left out, perhaps, or overlooked, is the masks weren't mandatory. If that was where your comfort was, to wear masks, they were going to open up the sanctuary, the chapel, and the family center to permit the social distancing. And they're taking extreme steps, just as Pastor Jack Hibbs is saying, how strident his community of church is going to be when they reopen. And I feel churches will lead the way as far as getting the engine of the economy back on tracks here in California and around the country. It's essential.
David, I appreciate your call very much. Thank you for it. You know, oftentimes in the media, the volley back and forth over the net is about statistics and numbers as it applies to deaths and infections with COVID-19. Rare do I see any discussion, any alluding to all of the other factors that are involved. As David just shared, what about the economy? People out of work. What about addiction? What about suicide? What, I mean, there's so many relapses, all these other factors. There is something called, I think it's Declaration of Diseases. In fact, I'll look it up on the break, where this is a category by which, I'll find it. I don't want to start typing and kind of, I'll get to it. But it's a whole declaration. It's a whole distinction by which there is a connotation of this category of people that end their lives and mental health and all of this. And the number's even larger in 2017 than all the people that have died supposedly from COVID-19. So why isn't that in the media? I can only draw on my own conclusions. This has turned into kind of a political game. And we have a governor here that has said that he is all about a progressive agenda. In fact, if we had time, I'd play more of Chad Bianco. He makes reference to the press conference the governor had weeks ago where he said, yeah, this is about realigning the government as I see fit. By the way, Robert Tyler just texted me. We're going to have him on in the last segment of this hour. He's some of the legal counsel for 1,500 clergy that say we should have a right to open our doors this Sunday. Let me take a few more calls. 888-528-2557. Kevin in Riverside, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling. Time's of the essence. What did you want to share?
Just the getting into 25% and things like that. But hey, I miss my church just like everybody. Our church is huge, so we're not opening yet. We definitely miss it. But you know, if they're going to give a little, and we give a 25%, my thought is, hey, let's take that and let's maybe rotate guys into church and whatever we can get. And if we just do this for a week or so. If nothing happens, which I don't think it's going to, then sure, they're going to open this up a little bit more. But, you know, no one said this was going to be easy, okay? And I know there's a lot of politics involved in it, but we have to listen to the medical professionals. You know, just in the mask thing, a lot of these people just, hey, let's fling a mask up. This mask is a bunch of junk. Well, the mask is not to protect you. It's to protect others. So these healthy people, if you're healthy, and hope everybody is, but they could be asymptomatic. So they're saying, well, if you're healthy, you don't need a mask. Well, how do you know at that point?
Well, let me jump in. You say the medical experts. You may not realize not all medical experts agree in what you're saying. I have an article right here in front of me. Here's 3 points. There's no scientific evidence that supports healthy people wearing masks. You talk about it being asymptomatic. Okay. Did you know that masks reduce the intake of oxygen, leading possibly to carbon dioxide toxicity? Or how about germs are trapped near your mouth and nose, increasing the risk of infection? You know, how many of us, we put this mask on, set it down, wear it again the next day? I'm not of the school of thought that somehow we've all got to wear masks. This is early on. The medical experts said masks aren't important. Then all of a sudden masks are. Then they're not. In Orange County now, all of a sudden we hear about, well, it's mandatory. And we've got the local sheriff, Don Barnes, says, I'm not the mask police. So should we practice responsibility? Yes. I hear the safety word. It's kind of become a buzzword. I heard the governor say it just earlier. Well, it's all about practicing safety. What does that mean? Right? This fear-filled agenda. We'll share this quote from a medical expert. Come back with Robert Tyler. We've got a full board. We'll try to take calls as well. Quote, how can a person be forced by any business or government entity to wear a mask, which does affect the respiratory system, without having a physical examination by a licensed doctor who approves of such an action? End quote. again, a medical expert that you will not hear in the mainstream. We'll just hear everybody wear masks, 6 feet social distancing, and it goes on and on and on and on. When we continue, should local churches be allowed to open this Sunday? We'll talk to attorney Robert Tyler. That is next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. You may have heard recently there are a number of churches here in California that are saying they want to open their doors this Sunday, which is May the 31st, and if you don't know, it is also Pentecost Sunday. 1,500 members of the clergy have signed something called the Declaration of Essentiality. With us is the attorney, Robert Tyler. He's president of Advocates for Faith and Freedom, also partner of Tyler and Birch. Robert, it's been a long time. How are you, brother?
Oh, it's good to hear your voice. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me here.
I'm glad that you got to call in finally. I figured you got sidetracked, so let's kind of jump in here. Talk a little bit about the Declaration of Essentiality. What is that? Who has signed on it, etc.?
Sure. We have churches from the top of the state to the southern end, and we have pastors of small churches, small congregations, small Bible studies, even to very large congregations in excess of 20,000. And basically, the Declaration of Essentiality is a document that we put together for pastors to sign to declare their intent that they are going to reopen on the day of Pentecost. And it basically is what was assigned to show the state, the governor, that, you know, it's what's happened, this shutdown has gone too long, too far, as it relates to people being able to gather together for religious assemblies and getting together for worship and prayer and to support one another.
Now, one of the statements that were made, the governor Monday said, well, look, okay, we'll start opening churches up slowly. I think his guidance was something like 25% or 100 people, whichever is less. Can you speak directly to that? And what about the churches that have, well, let's just say larger congregations? What about them?
Sure. For some of the congregations, that limitation is no problem. But for many, that is a significant issue because, you know, restaurants are opening up. The state has guidelines for restaurants, and there is no limit on the number of people who can go in a restaurant and sit down. They simply require, the guidelines of the state simply require that restaurants are able to socially distance and keep tables 6 feet apart. And it's our position that, and we believe a very strong constitutional position, that churches should be treated the same. And, you know, if you have a sanctuary that seats 1,500 people, there's no reason why you can't get 300 or 400 people in there, separated, socially distant, 6 feet apart. And, you know, families coming together in one cluster and another cluster 6 feet over here with, you know, others, other, another different family. And so, you know, we're looking at that and saying this just isn't appropriate. And, you know, the governor would not have done what he did. He was not going to open up churches until phase three. There was conversation. He's even made public remarks that caused us to believe that it could be not until the fall that churches were able to come together and meet again. And so that was just not going to be, that wasn't going to work out. So that's why we came up with this Declaration of Essentiality, was to make a statement that these churches are going to reopen, and we're going to do so with or without permission, not with a goal of just trying to be civilly disobedient, but really trying to show that the ministry that these churches do is so incredibly important. When you consider the fact that the suicide rates are up, the attempted suicide, domestic violence, the calls going into call centers for emotional distress and psychological well-being is they're up. I mean, the numbers are up. There's studies all over the place on this. So, you know, the churches are saying we are the safety net. And when you have so many people going on unemployment in such a difficult circumstance, we have to be there for them. And we're not going to shy away from that. And we're going to step up and do what God's called us to do, and that's to be there for our congregation and the community.
Attorney Robert Tyler is my guest. I have a lot of questions, but they would kind of – I want to stay in the area of focus. You're the legal expert, so I want to stay kind of on that versus thoughts on the church and should we be allowed to open, some say, too soon, et cetera. So here's the main question that I haven't gotten to yet. Has there been any response from the governor on the Declaration of Essentiality other than maybe what we heard this past Monday?
No. No, there has not. And, you know, the governor does have an aide who is speaking with one pastor that we are one of our clients. And there may be some movement on that number, that 25% or 100, whichever is less. That may change. We'll see. But I think the governor is trying to test the waters and see if, you know, we might blink. And frankly, you know, we have 1,500 pastors who are saying, no, we're not blinking. We are going to reopen. And we are going to do what God's called us to do. And we've, you know, the good news is we've got a constitutional right to do it.
Now, I did ask Jack Hibbs, and anything else you want to add to the follow-up, I did ask him, has he gotten any response from local law enforcement about will they do something if indeed, in his case, Calvary Chapel Chino Hills opens this Sunday? And he said, Frank, I'm just going to be honest. They said, Pastor Jack, what took you so long? So have you gotten any overtures from local law enforcement about the idea of maybe churches being confronted if they open the Sunday, anything along those lines? And obviously anything else from a legal standpoint you want to add into this conversation? I think it's important.
You know, there are, I know the Riverside County Sheriff came out very publicly and said, I'm not going to enforce these laws. They're unconstitutional, and I'm not going to make criminals out of business owners or criminals out of pastors. The same is true, as I understand it, for Orange County, the Orange County Sheriff. I was on the phone with a pastor out of Santa Clara County, and it sounds as though the same. It sounds like many of the sheriffs for all the various counties and many officials are saying, look, we're not going to enforce these because we don't believe they're constitutional. We don't believe it's even right. Yet, you know, here we are. We have a governor who is, you know, in this quote-unquote state of emergency, has this ability to operate as somewhat as a dictator to be able to declare law without a legislature, without anybody overturning him. And frankly, the court's not willing to do so. And you know, from a legal perspective, it's tough. And so that's why, you know, our clients have basically come together to say, look, we are going to almost take the law into our own hands to some degree, but we are going to do what we know God's called us to do, because ultimately, by the time this gets to the U.S. Supreme Court, we're going to win. You know, there's a Sixth Circuit opinion that came out, and Kentucky had a governor who issued regulations and, you know, guidelines that are just like California's, and they were declared unconstitutional, and so churches were allowed to have in-person meetings again, subject to reasonable guidelines of social distancing and, you know, masks and those kinds of things. And so we stood upon that Sixth Circuit ruling and said, we believe that's correct. We knew that in our lawsuits here in California that we would lose in the district courts. We would lose in the Ninth Circuit because here we are, we're on the left coast. So we would lose, and then what would happen is there'd be a circuit split. And the circuit split between the Sixth Circuit, the Ninth Circuit, and now the Seventh Circuit now creates a scenario ripe for the U.S. Supreme Court to take the cases up and rule on this question of whether or not the church's free exercise rights are being violated. And, you know, we want to take this so that this never happens again, because under no circumstances should we have a single individual standing up and declaring that churches have to shut down.
Robert Tyler is president of Advocates for Faith and Freedom. He's with the law firm Tyler and Bursch. They are responsible for being the legal advisors to 1,500 members of the clergy who have signed on the Declaration of Essentiality. Robert, I do pray that come Sunday, churches will open without any kind of resistance, and maybe I can follow up with you next week, and we can kind of see where this is going. But I do thank you for coming back on, and thank you for what you do for religious freedom. I know we've spent time on the air talking about other specific cases and how religious freedom is under attack, but we obviously will follow this closely in California. Thank you for being there for so many of the pastors and clergy.
Thanks, Frank. It's an unprecedented time, and thanks for what you're doing, and I'd love to be back next week.
All right, we will follow up and do that for sure. Robert, God bless you. Good to hear your voice, brother.
You too. See you soon.
Okay, we will continue. For those that stay with us, for our family at K-Praise in San Diego, we love you. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. This is the Frank Sontag Show.